KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, it's mostly clear and 33 degrees. We look for skies to become cloudy today with a chance of rain late this morning and this afternoon, a high around 38. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by your independent insurance agents. In Elkhorn, see Terry Peterson at Insurance Services Incorporated or call 712-764-6000. Topping Southwest Iowa news, a missing 90-year-old man was found dead Sunday at around 12:20 a.m. just north of Yuma, Arizona. Authorities say James Lewis Larson from Sharpsburg was last seen in Lawrence, Kansas on November 13th. He'd been on his way to Yuma last week and stopped in Lawrence, Kansas to visit with his family prior to disappearing. A silver alert was issued by the Lawrence, Kansas Police Department when Larson failed to reach Yuma and his family could not reach him. His body was found by the Yuma County Sheriff's Deputies and Rescue Unit along with the Civil Air Patrol units. He was located in a wash near a trail in the COFA Wildlife Refuge near the northern boundary of the Yuma Proving Grounds COFA firing range. His vehicle was found high-centered nearby and stuck on a ledge. Authorities in Arizona are currently looking into the circumstances surrounding Larson's death. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office Monday evening identified the second victim of last Friday's fatal crash as 17-year-old Michael Bent from Council Bluffs. The state medical examiner's office will make the official identification later in the week. A vehicle that was reported to have been involved in the incident also has been located. An investigation into the involvement that the vehicle may have had into the crash is ongoing. As we reported to you over the weekend, deputies of the Pott County Sheriff's Office had been dispatched at around 1:23 p.m. Friday to the area of Pioneer Trail and Humboldt Lane for a two-vehicle accident with injuries. Upon arrival, they located a 2017 Ford F-350 and a 1998 Honda CR-V that had been involved in the crash. The Ford F-350 was driven by 46-year-old Roland Hansen of Council Bluffs. He was traveling eastbound on Pioneer Trail near the intersection with Humboldt Lane. The driver of the Honda CR-V had not been determined at the time. The Honda CR-V was westbound on Pioneer Trail near the intersection with Humboldt Lane. The two vehicles collided near the intersection, causing both to end up in the south ditch and the Honda CR-V to overturn. One occupant of the Honda was identified Friday as 17-year-old Floyd Quick of Council Bluffs. Quick and Bent were both pronounced dead at the scene. Bent's identity had not been released until Monday. The initial investigation indicated speed was a factor and that another vehicle was involved and failed to stop. The Page County Sheriff's Office reports deputies responded November 21st to a single vehicle motor vehicle accident near the intersection of Highway 2 and Anna Cross Road on the southeast edge of Shenandoah. An investigation determined 59-year-old Stephen Merrill Hurd of Tabor was traveling westbound on Highway 2 in a pickup when, for reasons unknown, the vehicle went into the north ditch and hit a tree before coming to rest. Hurd was transported to the Shenandoah Memorial Hospital with unknown injuries. Charges are currently pending. Authorities say alcohol is believed to be a factor in the crash, which remains under investigation. The Mills County Emergency Management Agency yesterday said interim mortgage assistance is immediately available to qualified property owners of Mills County who were impacted by the 2019 March flooding. To qualify for the assistance, those individuals must have signed up for the buyout option by October 11th. The funds for the mortgage assistance are made available through the Iowa Flood Recovery Fund, and the assistance will be paid directly to the lenders. Applications must be filled out either on the Mills County Flood page, which there is a link to in the same story on our news page, or in person at the Mills County Auditor's Office in order to begin the process. The online application will be shared across multiple social media platforms to ensure it's available and accessible to potential applicants. Property owners must provide a mortgage statement from the lender, a forbearance letter if applicable, and tax and/or insurance statements if not paid through an escrow account, along with any other correspondence with the mortgage holder that shows a need for assistance. Qualified property owners should contact Southwest Iowa Planning Council by email at swipco@swipco.org or by telephone at 1-866-279-4720 if you have any other questions. And three veterans of the U.S. Army from Atlantic took part in a ruck march Monday as part of an awareness effort with regard to veteran suicides. Casey Swanson was one of the trio marching, carrying a rucksack with personal belongings. The others carried an American flag and one other special item. KJAN News caught up with Swanson, Ryan Beach, and Brad Fager about 4 miles east of Wyota yesterday on White Pole Road.
We picked it up in Menlo. We started, I guess, last night was Menlo to Adair. This morning was Adair to Atlantic, 21.2 miles. We're carrying the game ball for the Iowa-Nebraska college football game. We're going to essentially carry that all the way to Lincoln, Nebraska over the next couple days. In doing that, we're hoping to raise awareness for veteran suicide.
All three Atlantic men served from 2009 to 2013 in the Army. University of Nebraska-Lincoln and University of Iowa student veterans are part of the Ruck March from Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln for the November 29th Hawkeye Cornhusker game in Lincoln. The 322-mile march began November 20th.
We're looking at 22 veteran suicides a day, so we're looking at decreasing that number. So we just come out here for a couple hours, walk 20 miles or so, and just, one, show our support and hopefully raise awareness to end veteran suicide.
The trio stopped at the Atlantic Public Library before moving on to Hancock, where the ball was set to be handed off to others who will continue the journey westward. Each team member was asked to carry about 20 pounds of personal belongings to signify the 20 veterans who has lost each day to suicide. Swanson said his rucksack contained two Purple Hearts on the back for the injuries he suffered in war, and some water, and along with a couple of combat books. In our funeral announcements, Beulah Smith, age 99, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Beulah Smith will be today at 11 o'clock at the First Church of Christ in Atlantic. Reagan Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Michelle Sargent, age 45, of Stewart, died Thursday. Funeral services for Michelle Sargent will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the First Congregational Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Stanley Nichols, age 80, of Elkhorn, died Saturday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Memorial services and a Masonic service for Stanley Nichols will be Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Don Putnam, age 98, of Oakland, died Sunday at his home. Funeral services for Don Putnam will be 2 p.m. Wednesday at the Oakland Community Building. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Everett Wendt, age 94, of Audubon, died Sunday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Everett Wendt will be held Saturday at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Carmen Graybill, age 26, of Hamlin and formerly of Manning, died Saturday. A visitation for Carmen Graybill will be Sunday from 3 until 7 p.m. at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Lawrence Butch Freeman, age 82, of Carson, died Friday. Private family services are planned for Butch Freeman. Los Hills Funeral Home of Carson has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by your independent insurance agents, Brocker, Carnes & Carnes, with offices in Atlantic, Anita, and Council Bluffs. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.